And here to introduce the program is the moderator, Stephen McCormick.
This Christmas Day marks a time of both contemplation and rejoicing, of thoughtfulness and celebration. It also starts a week when nearly 60 million Americans will go to the movies for entertainment, more than at any other week of the year. And this spotlights a matter of great concern here in Hollywood, where the American Forum originates today. For despite a Supreme Court decision which includes motion pictures within the free press guarantee of the Constitution, regulation and control of movie content is still a critical problem. The Catholic Legion of Decency has complained about what it calls the rising tide of moral laxity in motion pictures. And Hollywood's own production code of self-regulation to assure morality in the movies has come under question this week with the opening of a new picture dealing with narcotics and released without the usual seal of approval of the Motion Picture Association of America. The controversial film is The Man with the Golden Arm. And here on the American Forum today to discuss this question is its producer-director, Otto Preminger. Mr. Jerry Wald, executive producer of Columbia Pictures, an advocate of the production code, and Mr. William Mooring, nationally syndicated motion picture columnist. Well, gentlemen, we have many subjects to discuss today. Let's start off on this basis. The recent development seemed to me indicate the beginning of the end of the code. Or should you say that, Mr. Wall, the beginning of the end of the code? Especially, you know, since a major studio has decided to announce that they've bought a hit play. It's a play on Broadway now. And in that play, the major theme is one which gets into the code and I believe is a violation of it.
Well, I don't think the code has... The code has always been the industry's way of protecting our films from various forms of outside censorship, federal, state, and city. It has served a valuable purpose in reducing the number of state censorship groups.
Mm-hmm. I don't see how the code could possibly protect anybody from censorship the way they act. I mean, you can only protect yourself from censorship if you fight censorship. The code administration has never fought censorship. If you mean protection against censorship is to make your own limitations so much narrower that you don't insult the sensitivities of any censor, instead of hitting him and saying the Constitution gives us the same freedom of discussion that you have here at this forum.
Mr. Preminger, the Constitution gives you the right of freedom of speech, but you can't yell fire in a theater. You have to have
but
some
you
discretion.
Mean who wants to? Who would yell fire in the theater?
Well, I mean that there's a
do they
a
yell
law.
Fire here on no, this discussion? Do they yell fire at Time magazine?
If Mr. Preminger, if the Constitution guarantees you the freedom of speech or the freedom of the press in this country, the press themselves have a certain amount of, breaks on what they publish.
Yes,
what
but
they
Times,
do.
The New York Times never asked the Tribune what they can publish, and this is what the code really is. Mm-hmm. The code administration is a club of major studios who want to tell me, an independent producer, what I can do and what I cannot do.
Mr. Mooring, do you feel that's true?
Between the two gentlemen, I think we ought to have a definition of the word censorship. There is possibly no more badly used word or misused word today. What do we mean by censorship? The movie code, I would suggest, is not a measure of censorship, but is an editorial measure. And the Legion of Decency is a classification body, the same as the Protestant Motion Picture Council and the American Jewish Committee and a large number of other public bodies, with the exception that it is authorized by the hierarchy and speaks with a very definite idea of what it desires to achieve.
And that nobody objects to them as long as they stay within their jurisdiction
but
and tell
do.
Their yes. own members what
very
to
well.
Do.
Very
but
well.
But when the Legion of Decency goes so far as to threaten theaters to boycott them, I think they overstepped
it does
their...
Not. It does not, Mr. Preminger. The Legion of Decency doesn't threaten. It merely advises Catholics who are willing to be advised by their hierarchy, and it advises them concerning the content of films morally. And it says, in effect, to a Catholic, if this is not a suitable picture for you to see, we think, and the Catholic, if he is well guided in his spiritual and moral life, is very glad to acquiesce and stay away.
And I agree that they are completely
are
within
numbers,
their rights doing this.
No, but if
this
there
is
are
fine
millions,
with me.
Then what are the rights of the moral leaders and spiritual leaders of the world? What are their rights?
You said you want to explain what censorship means.
Yes.
Can you explain to me what would qualify one man to tell another in a democracy? I'm not speaking now about the Legion of Decency, and I agree that within their jurisdiction among Catholics, they are completely within their rights to tell them, don't go and see this picture. That is fine. We agree on that.
Yes.
But, I mean, I go beyond that. This is a country, a democracy, where religion and state are separated by the Constitution. What layman, you know, who is not speaking to Catholics or speaking to Jews, or but speaks to the citizens of this country, should have the right to tell them what to see and what not to see.
You're
what
would qualify as Catholics?
What would, I'm not speaking about Catholic. I'm speaking general.
You're talking about censorship boards now and
censorship boards. Why should the police, the police commissioner of a city, have the right to tell people what they can see and what they cannot see?
Mr. Wall. For the same reasons they have rules for law and order in the country. You can't.
No, but there are rules for law and order. There are laws. You know, within the law, I can produce and submit to the American public any picture I want to, unless it is obscene, then they throw me into
Otto,
prison.
Let me bring up a major point, if I may, Mr. Preminger. You made this picture, obviously, to make money. Is that correct?
Or
did
no.
What did you make it for?
I was interested in this theme, you know. You laugh.
I like to discuss that whole problem.
Well, let him answer your question.
I don't make pictures primarily to make money, as my record proves, because every one picture that I made as an independent producer where I could make money and where so far I have made money was a terrific gamble. And it was very difficult for me to get backing from people who only want to make money with pictures.
So, Otto, you're a good, yes. Mr. Preminger, you're a very good picture maker, and I respect you. You know that. But yet, I have read someplace where you said that the code put a certain amount of artistic shackles on people. Now, if that was so...
I didn't say that.
Well, I mean, you felt that the code, let me say, hampered your operation. You did say that.
You never had
any objection to the code?
No.
Well,
I only think that the code oversteps their... If the court tells their members, do this and do that, that's fine. But I am not a member of the Motion Picture Association. And the court oversteps their legal rights when they try to tell other people, like the theaters, don't play this. When they used pressure, as they did in my case, and tried the Legion of Decency to condemn my picture, which the Legion of Decency, as you probably know, didn't do.
Now, just
this
a minute,
is the
Otto,
first
wait,
time
wait,
in
Otto,
the history.
Otto, just
excuse
a moment,
me,
just
let me just say this.
I want to get on the Legion of Decency, because this,
Legion
you have
of
a lot, it was a lopsided approval.
No.
Here's what it said this morning. The film has a low moral tone throughout because it tends to minimize the moral obligation of all the principal characters. It treats in terms of morbid sensationalism with narcotic addiction, and in so doing fails to avoid the harmful implication relative to this moral and sociological problems. It also contains suggestive costuming, dialogue, and situations. I am
but
only
it
concerned...
But it the same B classification that it gave most of the pictures that you did. For instance, you did a picture of my sister Eileen, which you also did to make money, obviously. And this picture got
said,
also the same B classification. If you would read,
money.
You know, I never read what they said.
Well, I have to
they
read
never
it.
Got it. You happen to read it and you quote it, but if you quoted what they said about Gone with the Wind, about Guys and Dolls,
listen,
about Oklahoma, and about my sister Eileen.
I don't know.
The same thing.
But you're still saying you made this picture not to make money. And I say that this picture can do it. Well, what did you make it for?
It's not the principal point in making pictures.
Did you do it to present
the
whole problem
in
America?
I thought that this was a very important problem, and I feel that I should have the right to discuss any problem, you know, just like we discuss it here on the air, on the screen. This is the principle of the free screen, and nobody will stop me from...
Mr. Mooring, let me go to
this. Is your point, Mr. Preminger, that the public alone should be the arbiter, and that the public should go and see just which it likes to see?
No, because I have great respect for the public.
Then may I respectfully suggest that you should advocate that the business reverse its order and charge people when they come out of the theatres instead of when they go in. Because patently they must buy before they can try, and the purpose of all these classifications on the Legion of Decent Society in particular, is to warn them about what they may expect to see when they get in there. Now, all they know about your film, The Man with the Golden Arm, if they go this week, is that it is about narcotics. They do not know that it contains scenes which may make them sick. They do not know that it does not tell them anything tell them anything which
Mr.
is not
Moore,
known about narcotic
you know,
addiction.
This is what
nor
you told
do they
the people
know.
Probably,
excuse me just a moment.
Let
them
finish and then we'll go back
to they do not know that the film which you presume to offer to the public as informing the public on a matter of grave social interest, that it does not convey anything to them except perhaps the, I believe, untenable suggestion that a narcotics addict can lock himself in a room for 2 days and with safety go through that horrible withdrawal period and come out cured, which is denied by medical authority.
Mr. Preminger.
Mr. Mooring, I think that your speech is very beautiful, and I am glad that you printed this in Tidings, which is a magazine which I have not read. I read, however, Time Magazine, Newsweek, the New York Times, Tribune, and all the other papers that review the picture, which are also, the press is here to warn the public and to tell them, which gave the picture rave notices. Time Magazine, if it interests you, listed it among the only four American pictures, you know, all four produced independently and not by major studios, as the top picture, one of the top pictures of the year. So, I mean, the public will have to make the choice whether they believe you are Time Magazine.
Otto, you're dealing here with freak attraction. Let me show you why. Yes. First of all, you
why
have...
Why do you say freak?
Well, I'll tell you why, Otto, because you have distorted the book. The ending of the book is not the ending of the picture. Mr.
You
Auburn,
have never read the book, if you say
I have.
That, you
well, I have it right
not,
here.
I have not distorted the book.
Well,
this is not true.
You distorted the end. You romanticized the ending, because here's what happened to the
end. I have not romanticized it. Have you seen the picture?
I read the script, Otto.
Have you seen the picture?
No, sir, I read the script.
I have not romanticized
But you've changed the ending from the book. Here's what the book
said. I changed the ending from the book. I did not only change the ending. I changed the whole plot
now,
from the book.
Minute,
the book had no plot, and the book had no moral point of view.
My moral point of view... You have romanticized and distorted the picture, the book. Because here's how the book ends. The book ends with the drug addict hanging himself, committing suicide, because he knew there was no way out. He knew there was no cure. And you're saying, in your picture, in effect, you're saying there's a salvation for the drug addict?
You're wrong, you know, because the book says there is a cure. The only thing is the book had no point of view. The book did never say that it is bad to be an addict. And I say this because, like Mr. Mooring and like the Legion of Decency, I believe that entertainment, this is my personal point of view, can only be successful if it is morally balanced, as I call it, if it has a moral point of view. There has never been a great piece of art, a great piece of drama, great novel, which won, which was successful, where evil came out triumphant. You know? That's why my picture says that it is bad to take narcotics.
Mr. Anslinger, head of the Bureau of Narcotics, he agrees that dope pictures should be made. If
Mr.
it's treated
Anslinger
honestly...
Anslinger is the most unsuccessful public official in America.
Mr. Preminger, Mr. Anslinger said he is not against a dope picture being made.
He hasn't seen my picture.
He is for an honest dope picture being made. But when you start dealing, Otto, which I claim, Man of Golden Arm is a good commercial venture put up together by you, which, and I admire you for one thing, for being a good picture maker, but when you say to me, I'm not making the picture to make
you
money, Otto, you're
your
kidding
words
now.
Words when you see the picture.
I'm sure it's a good
you
picture.
Come to me and you'll be sorry.
Otto,
because if you quote Mr. Anslinger, I want to quote the head of the censor board, as we seem to like censors here at this table very much, in New York, Dr. Bowen, who came out of the picture and says, I congratulate you. If I had ever had been inclined to take narcotics, I would stop now. This is a very responsible man.
Mr. Mooring.
We like censors. Now, to the contrary, we have said we do not. And we have said that the way to avoid censorship on a wide scale is to control the industry from within by some decent principles. And these are principles, we say, are embodied in the Motion Picture Production Code, to which all producers of responsibility contribute. Here and now, it suits an individual producer's purpose to step outside of that code and to go out on the and reap the benefit of the ensuing controversy to sell his picture, and that has happened not once but several times.
Well, along
now,
with
that
me
cannot
only twice.
Be in the good service of the industry. I'm asking, can it be of any really good service to the public? Your point is that the public should be the chooser. Do you believe in the pure food laws, Mr. Preminger, which protect the people from adulteration of their food?
I don't think that this is a very good
comparison. Oh, it is a valid suggestion. Because
I'm surprised that a man who has such spiritual ideas like you compares pictures with food.
I know.
This
the
is
idea.
Something that you well, cannot decide. Oh, yes,
you say along that line. Along that line, now, I do want to bring this.
I don't recognize an industry. I mean, to me, there is no industry. To me, there are pictures that are being.
There is no motion picture industry?
No.
Now, wait a minute.
There are people who make. There is no theater industry. Does the theater in New York, the legitimate theater, have a code?
Uh-huh. You think food is the idea?
Can you deny that the legitimate theater is at least on the same artistic and spiritual and moral level as pictures are?
Listen,
do
Mr.
theaters advertise Art. Like your company advertises with legs sticking out in the air? Is this according to the
Mr.
code?
Mr. Wall, I try to make pictures.
Just answer that.
Mr. Wall, the legs that I saw on the drive thing here, those nude legs for my sister Eileen.
Legs is being used as the same attractive purpose as you use dope, is to get people into the theater. Now, you're dangling dope. You're dangling the subject of dope outside of your theater marquee.
You will not find any ad that shows dope.
Oh, but your publicity, your publicity in which you defied the code was well organized to deliver. You never wanted a seal on the picture, Otto.
It's not true.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I applied for a seal.
No, Otto, listen, now you're talking, you're wearing two hats. One hat is to say, I want a seal, and the other hat is, I hope I don't get it.
I have a lot of hair, and I'm protected.
Well, let's say you're talking through your toupee, then.
Why don't we talk about this question to ask now.
Why don't you explain those ads, you know, for my sister Eileen?
I like the ads, because
or the other ads that just get by that code.
I don't think there's anything wrong with legs, I like them.
The hypocritical idea to have a code on the one side, and Mr. Mooring cannot deny this, you know, that there is a code, but that every major studio that gives it lip service tries to get around it.
The ads for motion pictures are incredible. Just a moment. The biggest grossing pictures in the history of the picture business have all been made within the code. That includes Gone with the Wind, From Here to Eternity, On the Waterfront, Sergeant York, Going My Way. Now tell me, what was in those pictures?
They've been made within the code, but just
they were
made within the letter of the code, but not within the spirit of the code.
Would they have grossed any more money?
From Here to Eternity, which you produced, you know, they have a certain dance hall, which I cannot even describe here on the air, because I don't want to embarrass the American of the forum.
Mr. Preminger, any good picture is made on...
I don't object to it. I don't try to censor your pictures. You try to censor
my
picture.
Any good picture, I think, has to be made from two points of view. One is not to frustrate the intelligent picture goer. At the same time, don't offend the young teenage group. Yeah. Now, we're making pictures that for an audience from 6 to 60... When you do something in the theater where you have a small audience, I say do it on any subject you want. But the picture medium is a medium that is to be used for a mass world audience. And we've discovered, and you've discovered too, Otto, that the big grosses that have come back from all over the world have been only attributable to pictures that have been made with good taste, with good sense, and all within the code.
I think my pictures are as good a taste as yours.
I don't think your pictures will gross as much as, let me say,
I don't care. I mean, you bring always up money. I'm not discussing
money. Let's get away from money for just a moment and get to this question, which I think is a very important one. Eric Johnson has expressed opinions on it. If you don't have a code, or 25 years ago when you began this code, you had a good reason for it. It just didn't happen. Now, let's assume that something happens to this code. It becomes weaker. You can't enforce it. Do you think we're going to wind up with federal censorship or state censorship? Are we going to start a new series? It's impossible
because the Supreme Court, I mean, there is still a law in this country. You don't have to be afraid. If you have a right, there cannot be censorship.
Let's ask Mr. Mooring's opinion. The Supreme Court has never said that. The Supreme Court has merely said... No, it has never said that there is no such thing as obscenity, that there is no such thing as sacrilege, indecency, or immorality.
You will never find any obscenity in my pictures.
May I finish?
Go ahead, Mr. Mooring.
That the Supreme Court has not ruled that. It has said, in effect, that the freedom of the press is extended to the screen.
Yes.
And that is the extent of it. Now, we still have to have a ruling from the Supreme Court, which evidently doesn't desire to define the words obscene, immoral, or sacrilegious, but isn't afraid to try to define the words freedom and liberty. And if you ask me, I think that what the country needs more than a good 5-cent cigar is a good 25-cent dictionary, when we get to that point of view. But still it is the fact that the Supreme Court has not per se stated that censorship is invalid. It has not invalidated censorship.
Public opinion will take care of the matter. Censorship was challenged. It has decided
irresponsible censorship
against
has been challenged.
Every censorship has been challenged. Every
Mr. Preminger, listen, we all know, Mr. Preminger, we all recognize that immorality, unfortunately, has a market value. And we know
I don't
that,
too. I don't think has ever become rich by selling French posts.
No, let me
Mr.
go
Wall,
on. Through.
I think
now.
The picture that Mr. Wall, has more of you.
Hold on,
Mr.
Preminger, let him finish. I agree about the more of you. Now, immorality, and I'm also going to add, Otto, to that, is that part of a circus, there's a big tent and there's also a freak show. Now, I think the kind of pictures you're making, the freak show type of picture, which is to deal in, and you can I can say
I
do a story about abortion,
object.
You know, or do
Charlie,
a story
I
about...
I must say the object. I think, really, that you go too far, because I control myself and don't speak about your pictures. But if I did...
I match my props against yours, Adam.
Then we would come to a real terrible fight.
Let's go back to this.
Because you've made so many more bad pictures than I have.
Well, I made more pictures.
And so,
like,
yes.
It's like Babe Ruth.
That's right.
Like two good friends here. I can see that, gentlemen.
Don't say that I make free pictures because it's not fair.
A man with a golden eye...
Then I can only ask you, why is none of your pictures in the selection of Time magazine, and why is my picture there as one of the best pictures of the year?
Well, I think, last year, we've had pictures... Every year.
Didn't.
Listen, I think we're in a...
made freak pictures last year. That's how you got in.
I wouldn't
this
call it Kennedy or Waterfront a freak picture. Columbia, that's not...
No,
you
but
can't
Columbia,
call
this is not the Columbia picture. It's an independent picture that you bought.
Attorney was made...
No, don't take credit from
I didn't take credit
Waterfront.
I said
don't
Columbia.
Say that Columbia made Waterfront.
Well, our Kazan made it. You're right. Yeah. Spiegel and Kazan made it.
Let's go back to this major point, gentlemen, though. Are we going to have the censorship now? Because... don't you feel that something will happen if your code isn't able to be enforced?
Inevitably.
Well, will not public reaction...
What will happen?
Public opinion will insist upon the screen being cleaned up, and there will be censorship boards, whether you like it or not.
There will not be
the television
board
is under control of the FCC.
Mr. Preminger, as long as there are...
The FCC and may not go beyond certain
I want to ask, as long as there are men of
and
integrity...
Morals,
you certainly can discuss narcotics on the air, as you see right here.
Well, there's something being done about that by the National Audit.
Mr. Preminger.
Right now.
Mr. Wall.
Mr. Preminger, I think that if the problem of the code administration was left to men of integrity like yourself, I know you have integrity, Otto, but I also recognize that you're a commercial showman. And being a showman, you sometimes go outside of the code to get what I would say additional publicity values. And then
may I ask you one thing? Let's just as a representative of the code and major studio, why should narcotics not be presented, not be discussed on the screen when it is discussed on television every month?
If you'll do it honestly,
twice.
Without
why?
The... Look, I'm for making a picture.
You're not my critic. You're
let him answer your question.
I am not for against making a picture on dope as long as you don't counterfeit it or camouflage it. Don't glamorize. Don't romanticize it. Do it straight and legitimate and honestly and show
but
as the book
was,
showed.
But that was not the point of the court. The court has a rule that it cannot be discussed
well,
at all. They did
Mr.
not
look,
judge
Mr.
my
Mr.
Opinion
look,
by
we are delighted.
My picture
look,
got 99% of the greatest reviews that have ever been.
I would say the code...
And nobody
would be,
doubted. Nobody said it was glam. On the contrary.
I would say that the code would be lifted.
You haven't seen the picture.
I read it. I told you, Mr. Preminger, I read the script. I did not see the picture,
well,
but I assume that
have read it very
I hope you haven't rewritten
then
the script.
Then why did you lend me Kim Novak from your studio to
we
play
read
the
script
picture?
And we thought.
Mr. Mooring.
There is, I think, room, and this is the gentleman's contention. There is room for flexibility in the administration of the code, and there is always room for argument as to its amendment. But this is not the point here. Here is the case of a producer who ignores and violates the code in an aura of self-created social idealism, which I maintain may be dangerously obscured by his commercial objectives, as legitimate as they may be. And now the question is whether or not the industry should not have sat down together and agreed an amendment to the code, if indeed one were desired. And then I would go a long way with you, because I see no reason why the motion picture should be under
you
greater
see, Mr.
restriction
Mori,
than
really
television.
On the same side
I see no
fence.
Reason at all.
The Legion of Decency doesn't really object violently
well,
to my opinion.
Have you ever tried to change
just
the code?
Just a moment.
The Legion of Decency has made an objection to your picture on moral grounds.
But only to
but
the,
it has
to the
to
same degree
the
as they objected to Gone with the Wind from here to
Mr.
eternity.
Mr. Preminger, the Legion of Decency
on
minor grounds.
Only to the same degree.
Mr. Preminger, the Legion of Decency passed your picture on moral issues, but they were not commenting on the social problems that you brought up. Now, I think when you expose the subject of narcotics to an impressionable audience of teenagers, I think you can do a tremendous amount of harm.
That because is your opinion.
I'm entitled
Judge
to my
Leibovitz,
opinion.
You know, of New York, who is one of the... Let me just finish.
Go
now.
Ahead,
Mr. Preminger. Who is one of the greatest experts in juvenile delinquency, asked me to quote him that he thinks that I did a service to the nation by doing this picture, that this picture should be shown in every schoolroom of the country. Well, and he saw the picture and you didn't see it.
Now, besides, I read the script.
He knows more about juvenile delinquents than
but
you.
But on the other hand, I would take an eminent critic like Mr. Crowther on the New York Times, who certainly didn't agree.
Mr. Crowther didn't like the picture,
but he
called the quote stupid and unintelligent. I'm quoting verbatim. He wrote a long article against the quote. He didn't like the picture. He thought the picture was not strong enough.
But he's the only one who did.
Well, if we get into critics, gentlemen, we're going to be here for another hour and a half.
But he called the quote administration unintelligent, stupid, and narrow-minded. Now, if you wanted to quote Crowther, I can quote him too.
I cannot quote him on that subject, but Mr. Preminger,
the
code like the United States Constitution.
Well, let's
stop interrupting me while I interrupt
you. Go ahead, Mr. Wall.
That's one interrupt at a time, Mr.
Preminger.
Look, the code like the United States Constitution is always subject to revision and modification to conform with the times in which we live. And certainly nobody has said the code should not be changed. Nobody has ever said that you shouldn't do pictures.
But the code is in the wrong hands.
Well, can you change it?
Some old man. I'm not a member. But I can't even talk to these people.
They don't admit independent producers.
That's not so.
Wait a minute. Best Years of Our Lives was made by an independent producer. So was Guys and Dolls. And they both operated within the code and have done pretty well.
Just happened to do so.
Wait, but you just said that the independent producer was not allowed to.
The independent producer is not a member of the code administration. I have no voice in amending the code. That's what I said. Don't bring up, you know, all the titles of other pictures.
We have a few.
Don't impress anybody.
Mr. Mooring, a few seconds.
Independent producers.
Mr. Mooring.
Why not mention Mr. Preminger's other picture, which is probably going to bring a lot more happy people out of the theater this Christmas?
I'm sorry.
The court martial of Billy Mitchell.
I'm sorry. Our time is up and we must conclude. We could do this for an hour and a half.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Our guests today have been, and we thank them very much, Mr. Otto Preminger, producer-director of The Band with the Golden Arm, Mr. Jerry Wald, executive producer of Columbia Pictures, and Mr. William Mooring, nationally syndicated motion picture columnist. The nation's first discussion program, The American Forum, is now in its 27th year. Founded and produced by Theodore Granick, who joins me in wishing you a very happy holiday season. Now this is Steve McCormick bidding you goodbye.
1 week from today, our speakers will be Governor Goodwin J. Knight of California and Senator Warren G. Magnuson of Washington. They will discuss, will the West dominate the 56th election? America's oldest unrehearsed discussion program is dedicated to the public debate of all sides of all issues vital to you and your country. The American Forum is produced by its founder, Theodore Granick. Director, Dick McDonough. Unit manager, John DeMott. This program came to you from Hollywood. This has been an NBC presentation.